country. The text we just read, the two texts we just read, can enlighten us to see how we can vote, how we can undergo elections as Christians, because we are the people of God. We have God's will when we read His word, and this can help us to be the best people to show how we can go through elections. In Samuel chapter 8, what is depicted there is the consequences of a people's choice done while these people are revolting against God, against God's will. Instead of being ruled by God, because there was a time Israel was ruled by God, the time of a theocracy, it's God who is ruling, but working through some human beings, like judges. And God was ruling His people, and people experienced wellness. They were defended by God, protected by God, and this helped the people to even go and establish and stay settled in the promised land. But while in the promised land, now they want to get a king like other nations. They were surrounded by other nations, and all other nations had a king. But except Israel, they had their king, God was their king. But they don't want now to be ruled by God, to be following His instructions. They ask Samuel, they threaten Samuel to give them a king. And Samuel was so sad for that. He went to plead to God what to do, and God said, because they don't want to listen to you, tell them about all the consequences of being ruled by a king. They don't know what they are asking for, but tell them, because they force, they want, and then God gave them Saul. Saul became their king. He was not the best king, I think. He was not, indeed. Because Saul himself didn't follow, at the long run, he didn't follow God's will for ruling his country. And as the text said, meaning the king, as other nations, because they envy other nations who are ruled by the human beings instead of being ruled by God. It's a wrong choice already. So the text warned them, Samuel warned them about the consequences. He might loot their wealth. He might render some people slaves. The king can make people suffer. He will use your daughters. He will use your wives for his personal interest and for his officers. They were warned about all this danger, that they decided to have a king, and it was given to them. And they experienced sufferings. Their security was at the stake. They would no longer enjoy and life. They were threatened by enemies. And the long run, God has to fulfill His plan, because He had a plan in Israelites' life. So God stopped Saul. He rejected Saul, and then He put other king. But when God chose another king, there were, of course, a series of kings until we reach David, the time of David as a king. So this is God's choice. The first choice, a wrong choice, has different consequences, sufferings, and people will no longer experience welfare. The second choice is that God is making for His people. Because God loves His people, He had to fulfill His plan through this nation. He chose David. He sent Samuel to look for the king, this king, David, Samuel was tempted to look at the appearance of people who were presented to him as king, as candidates. When he just checked people with height and with who are well built, handsome, just think that this time this is the one. God reveals him, not yet. Don't look at their appearance. Because God is testing the heart of the one whom he chose. This is his will. Because the one whom he chose should ensure the security of the nation, should ensure the development of his people. Then he said, it's not yet the one. After they have tried to present, to introduce to Saul, Samuel, or everybody, and then he finally asked, isn't there any other person? God said, there is somebody. And he was a shepherd, little David, who doesn't have the appearance of a king. A shepherd who just come from the farm. Imagine. That is the one who had the heart, whom God has chosen to lead his people, because he has the fear of the Lord. God's choice is different from our choice. He didn't check the appearance, but he read the heart of that one. So, two stories which can inspire us on how we can vote. Do we choose? Definitely we have to choose God's will, the model which is presented to us in this text. We Christians, we should vote responsibly. There are some people who are claiming to have elections. We simply, if we get tired from some kings or some leaders, just say it's better to have elections. Did we prepare somebody? Do we know that we have somebody who can have the fear of the Lord, that is the right one who will be different from others? And whenever we go for elections, we think that, okay, it's a matter of being there. God will choose for us. God doesn't choose for us. If we claim we choose the wrong one because we didn't obey to God's will, we will suffer. We will suffer like the Israelites. And the experience throughout countries can tell us how many people have made wrong choice, and now they are crying. Maybe we can be, we don't know. You have to check how you choose as a Christian. And as a Christian, if human beings are selecting candidates on the basis of nepotism. Nepotism meaning the people who are closer to me. I say, no, I want only my friend to be a king. Whatever he is, I just select him because he's my friend. Make sure when he's ruling of the people, whether he will still rule friendly. Because a king who can rule friendly is the one who can have in heart the preoccupation of developing a nation, helping the nation. Because it is the responsibility for which he's running is as to be a servant of the whole nation. He has to be the servant of the whole nation. But if we choose him because of our personal interest, because he's my friend, maybe he will bring me closer to him. Be careful, we might lead the country in the fall. Our country, even if the country is big as it could be, even if it is rich in potential in minerals, it might be nothing if we don't make the best choice. We will cry while stamping on the gold, while stamping on the ivories and everything. As you can know, different countries, we have all this wealth. But while we have this wealth, we are suffering because we didn't choose leaders who bear the people in their hearts. Some leaders, they are there for personal interests. You can even see this starting the propaganda. During the propaganda, you will even see those people who can give you false promise. I will build a road for you. A parliamentary member who claimed to build a road for you. Is it the duty of those people to build roads? I will industrialize your country. Will you manage a loan as a parliament? And yet it is not your responsibility. Your role is to ratify laws which can rule which can be used to rule in the country, to bring order in the country. But there are some other people who can do development. So if somebody is holding such a speech, just understand clearly that he's a liar. He built his leadership on a lie, and then he's not the right person. And others will bring T-shirt. Because of the T-shirt, you are overwhelmed and you are excited, you are enthusiastic. Because of only a T-shirt, this some kind of corruption. How can you build leadership on corruption? He corrupts you at the long run when he is already ruling. He will no longer know about you. He already bought what he needed from you, and your reward, you got it. And whatever he will still do now for personal interest, you will be the victim. We will be the victims as people. Wrong choice. So, if somebody promised that, no, you know, you are of my tribe, we belong to the tribe, you vote for me. Are we voting for a president for tribe? Do we have only one tribe in the world or in a country? Here in Africa, in any country in Africa, we have different tribes, various tribes. And it's only one person who can rule as a president. Only one, certainly from one tribe. How can you base the elections on tribal basis, on tribal foundation? Then it will be limited, the power will be limited. The first thing to know is to know that we are all citizens in one country and we have that responsibility to ensure welfare. Just to summarize what we can do and to give guidelines how we can engage in elections responsibly as Christians, because we don't have to be like those ones who are corrupt by T-shirt, by everything, but we have to be different as Christians, and we can enlighten others how to vote. Few key principles. I said myself when I was reflecting on this and when I was reading the Word of God, I thought the first thing to know is to know God's will for our nation. For which are we going to vote? We would like to know, we have to know that God is there for the welfare of the whole nation and all the nations. He wants people to live abundant life in a country. God would like us to live in security and peace. He didn't create us to live in wars all the time. A person who is involved in conflict, terrorist groups, who is nourishing tribalism, regionalism, discrimination of all types, gender discrimination, might not be the right person to rule on a country. He might not be. We have to be critical. We have to know that the basic thing is God's will for our nation, and these are the will of God. God would like us to live in security. God's will is that his name be glorified and honored in our country. You might go and vote for somebody who doesn't want to listen and to hear about God's name in a country. It happens once in Congo. A certain moment when we were young, our president Mobutu, he said, I don't like to see the cross in any classroom anymore. And yet we used to pray, like the Protestant school or Catholic schools, we used to have the course of religion in the classes for our spiritual life. And they said, I don't like that. Of course, he changed because he was corrected. There was some people who stood up and said, this is not what we should do. It can happen if we are not watchful. The second thing is to know the profile of the candidate. What is his profile? Is he a citizen first? Because you cannot vote if you are not a citizen. What is his moral behavior? Is he honest? Is he trustworthy? A person who is not trustworthy cannot lead people, because he will end up by doing wrong things, by making people suffer. Does he have the fear of the Lord? I prefer if people have the fear of the Lord. They might not even necessarily belong to your religion, but at least they know that there is a God who entrusts them this power. And then they will be accountable to God and to the people. Does he fear the Lord? Does he have the passion of his nation? Does he respect others? There are so many. The projector didn't project, but you might find it in wherever he will put this slide. And the third, we have to know if the candidate is nationalistic and patriotic. Does he love his country? Does he respect his country? There are some people, sometimes when they travel, they might ask you, are you a Nigerian? Oh, no, no. Because maybe he knows what they talk about negatively, about Nigeria. And I said, no, I don't. And they're trying to change even the accent so that they are not accused of being that maybe. Or Congolese. Are you a Congolese? I'm sorry, I'm not a Congolese. Because they want to, maybe they know that they neglect the Congolese. And then it's, I'm sorry, I'm not a Congolese. And I'm a, okay. Why? Why do they have to mock us? Why do we have to hide? Do we love really our country? That candidate, does he love his country to the point that he can protect, he can be proud, and he can also sacrifice for his country? Is he a peaceful person and a peacemaker? There are many candidates who are involved in armed groups, in conflicts, they entertain conflicts. This might not be the right people to rule our country. In sum, what do I want to bring to you? What we want to bring to you is to show that when we vote, we have to be responsible enough to be we have to make the analysis. We have to critically analyze what do people present to us as candidates. We have to know that the fate of our children, the fate of our whole nation, depends on what we will do during the elections. Don't rush without thinking. Use your mind to cross-check critically what is presenting to us. Don't neglect that, because it is through us God would like to establish good rulers in every country so that his name will be glorified for the welfare of people. It is my duty, it is your duty to rethink this, and I hope God will help us, like what Samuel used to do, to refer, to run to God, to ask, how can I identify the right king? We have to do this. We have to pray. We have to request wisdom. have to know that God can work with us if we are willing. But if we revolt against God, He will abandon us and we will suffer. It is enough for us to suffer in this world. Let us try to rebuild, to restore our nation through voting responsibly. This is God's word. May God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for this sermon. Thank you, Mama. I think Madame Muteo is one of those gifts that has been given to our church and especially to our service. We should benefit from her as much as we can. I bless God for the sermon of today, and I would like us to keep on reflecting on it as we are offering giving our offering. So I'm inviting the ushers as well as Morningstar in order to help us offer our offerings. As they are moving forward, let us keep on reflecting on these words, and let us choose not to choose while rebelling God, but let us reflect in order to choose responsibly.